And good morning, Nashville. 102.5, 106.3, the game blitz. I'm Jake Wallman, and he is Parker Kelly on the other side of the glass. Parker, good morning.
Good morning, Jake. I got to say, we're a high school football show, but I'm just overall excited for the football weekend in general.
I have a lot of pride that we kind of kick off the football weekend, if you think about it.
We do. We start the football weekend.
Right.
The football weekend does not start until Game Blitz starts at 7 a.m. every Saturday morning.
Chase, our supervisor, Chase McCabe, did not tell us to say that specifically, but it was kind of hidden in the message. I think the word is subliminal.
It was kind of just an understood rule.
It was understood.
Without being spoken.
That it is our job to kick off the high school or the football weekend, excuse me, and we start with high school football in the mid-state. We're going to get to a full scoreboard as we go throughout the show. We'll have Floyd Walker and Kevin Creasy from Eagleville and Oakland, both those schools winning last night. We'll give you those scores in just a moment. But first, we're going to do games that stood out in the area. Parker, what was your game that has stood out to you over the past couple days?
So my game of the week was actually the MyTV 30 game from last night, Liberty Creek on the road at East Nashville Magnet. Now, this was a game that was not a lot of action in the first half. It was 7-6 heading into halftime. I believe it was East Nashville who had the lead over Liberty Creek. But then the third quarter rolls around, and it's absolute fireworks.
Yeah, you mentioned that there was a lot of points.
Absolute fireworks. There was a 69-yard rushing touchdown from Liberty Creek's Jackson Collier. Now, Liberty Creek did not throw the ball a lot. Only 38 yards through the air, but they had 267 on the ground.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's right. But East Nashville turned it on. They did have a couple penalties later in the half, but they turned it on at the end. They had a big, long rushing touchdown from their running back to kind of seal the deal. And East Nashville is a really good team. They're a team that, you know, as the season rolls along, they're getting more and more hype. And I definitely understand why after watching last night.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talked about that last week, that was going to be a really good game between two teams that know how to put up points and definitely put up yards, as you mentioned earlier. My game that stood out was a game actually from Thursday. It was the only game in the area on Thursday, CPA and Battleground Academy. CPA trounced BGA 49-16, and we've talked about how good CPA is in the past, you know, over the past few weeks on this show, but this feels like just a statement win for CPA.
Yeah, they're another team that loves to run the football. Their quarterback Hudson Chance, who is actually a Tennessee Volunteers baseball commit, he's really good at getting that team going. Really solid leader for that program. I know Ingle Martin's talked about him a lot. But, yeah, they're an absolute wrecking ball, and they're looking to defend that state championship they won last year.
Yeah, I mean, Ingle Martin's just built a machine over there. So now that we have given our scores, our games that have stood out over the weekend, we are going to give you a scoreboard. Parker, hit the music. Week 5 in high school football in the mid-state. We're going to start in Murfreesboro as Oakland comes back from a 12-0 second half deficit to defeat Blackman 13-12. We're going to talk to Kevin Creasy about it coming up a little bit later in the show. Riverdale stays hot in a 42-7 win over Rockville. Hendersonville stays hot as well as they travel to Murfreesboro, defeating Siegel 35-27. Mount Juliet beats Cookeville to stay unbeaten, 38-21. Trey Perry's really got it going for the Golden Bears right now. Lebden and Green Hill, that's another team that's got it going for themselves. The Green Hill Hawks tied 28-28 at halftime. They defeat Lebden 52-28. PCA gets their third win of the year, 32-12 over Grundy County. East Robertson defeats Joe Burns, 43-27.
The Indians are rolling.
The Indians are rolling. They stay unbeaten. Watertown gets their first win of the year, 20-3 over Cascade. Stewart's Creek moves to 4-1, 35-19 over Cane Ridge. As Parker mentioned, the MyTV 30 game of the week, East Nashville defeated Liberty Creek 26-20. Station Camp gets their first win of the season, 41-0 over Greenbrier. Eagleville 48-14 as they travel down to Huntland. We're going to talk to Floyd Walker coming up a little bit later as well. Smyrna and Laverne, a battle of two I-24 schools. Smyrna gets their second win of the season, 36-0 over Laverne. Maplewood finds their second win of the season, 54-0 over Glencliff. And Marshall County beats White House to stay unbeaten, 42-7. Antioch and McGavick, that was an interesting game that Parker and I talked about last week as Coach Arsente Broom was returning to one of his old stomping grounds, and Antioch comes up victorious by a score of 56-30. Pearl Cone gets their third straight win, 61-0 over Montgomery Central. Shelbyville Central beats Wilson Central, 44-0, and Harpeth beats Waverly, 34-0.
Creekwood travels down to White's Creek and gets a big win, 42-14. Creekwood improves to 4-1 on the season. Fairview with a shutout versus Cheatham County, 43-0. Franklin beats Nolensville, 32-3. Beach improves to 4-1 as they get a win over Independence, 28-7. Independence still looking for their first win of the season.
If there was to be a surprise, if I had to pick one surprise in this 2024 season so far, it's Independence.
I would say so as well. I'm shocked they haven't got a win yet, but still 5 games left in the season, still time to pull one out.
Absolutely.
Brentwood beats Summit, 31-0. Stratford travels down to Sycamore and gets the win, 27-6. Henry County, after losing last week, improved to 2-3 and get the win over Hunter's Lane, 34-6. Ravenwood takes it to John Overton, improves to 5-0 on the season. He's John Overton, 48-0. Rossview goes to Clarksville Northeast and gets the win, 44-26. Rossview improves to 5-0, another team that's rolling here at the midway point through the regular season. Portland defends their home turf, gets the win over Clay County, 24-21. Centennial, another low-scoring game, beats Springfield 7-3. Centennial now 4-1 on the season. How about this? Father Ryan gets the win over NBA 17-14. Father Ryan snaps a 27-game losing streak to the Big Red.
I think Father Ryan is going to be a team that just, yeah, people got to watch out for.
Absolutely. Brian Rector and that team improved to 3-1. A very dangerous squad. Lots of talent over there. McCauley, the number one ranked team in the, or excuse me, number four ranked team in the state, you get the win over Brentwood Academy, 41-9. Clarksville Northwest puts a zero up on the scoreboard as they lose to Franklin Road Academy. This one on the road, 51-0. JP2 gets a 1-point win over Good Pasture. JP2 now back-to-back wins after starting the season 0-3. As they defeat Good Pasture 27-26. Good Pasture now 0-5 on the season. Grace Christian out of Franklin gets their first win of the season as they defeat Clarksville Academy 27-7. Mount Juliet Christian drops one to Nashville Christian 58-0. Nashville Christian, really dangerous squad over out there. Webb defeats Middle Tennessee Christian at home, 34-21. DCA falls to Columbia Academy, 28-7. That's the Wildcats' first loss of the season. Lipscomb drops another one at Ensworth, 17-3. In our last game, Davidson Academy defeats St. George's, 42-0.
And that is a full scoreboard. We can sprinkle a little bit more scores throughout the show for you. But, you know, recapping those area games first. One score that stood out to me, got to be Centennial and Springfield, 7-3 win for Centennial, as Parker noted. It feels like Centennial is one of those schools that doesn't mind kind of mucking it up a little bit and, you know, playing in that 7-10 point range, you know, just kind of really dirtying the game up and,
yeah,
roughing you up a little bit along the, you know, in the trenches and stuff like that.
But at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is the win. And that's what they got last night. And despite how ugly it was, a win is a win.
Yeah, absolutely. A win is a win. And they move to 4-1, and you know, a game that another game that stands out as well is, you know, you mentioned Brentwood, a 31-0 win over Summit, and Ravenwood coming up victorious as well. The Battle of the Woods at the end of the season, last week of the year, definitely going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, for sure. And I got to say, I don't think that we can go this entire segment without mentioning what happened literally 4 minutes down the road from me at Green Hill High School as they defeat Lebanon. Was it 52-28. That game was tied 28-28 at halftime. And then Green Hill just turned it on. Their quarterback, Cannon Burroughs, had four rushing touchdowns.
Wow.
I mean, unbelievable performance from Green Hill. And they are on a fast-paced collision course with Mount Juliet at the end of the year. And that's a game that I'm going to try to get out to. But that is going to be an exciting one.
Yeah, we talked to Josh Crouch a few weeks ago. And, yeah, I mean, you can just tell that he has this program on a track to at some point get to a state title. You can just feel it.
Yeah, and that was the team's mindset, you know, going 1-0 every week, and then they've done that so far. They're 5-0. Mount Juliet's 5-0. I got to say, I like what I'm seeing out of these teams, and it should be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, we're going to take our first break of the show, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to head coach Kevin Creasy from the Oakland Patriots. Last night, his Patriots took on the Blackman Blaze and made it out alive in a 13-12 win. We're going to talk about it all coming up next as you listen to 1065, 1025, 1063 The Game and The Game Blitz. 1025, 1063 The Game, Jake Wallman, Parker Kelly, sitting in with you on this Saturday morning, halfway through the high school football season, week five. Hard to believe that we're only 5 weeks away from the playoffs, Parker.
I can't believe it. It's really flying by.
I think I told you before we started, you know, like before our first show, the Saturday morning before our first show, that this was going to just fly by.
And it has. We're already 5 weeks through, and just like that, the next 5 weeks are going to fly by, and then it'll be playoff time.
Yeah, that's right. It always happens. A couple more scores on this Saturday morning. Franklin hosted Nolensville last night, 32-3. For Franklin getting the win, Portland hosted Clay County 24-21, and Dixon County went on the road and defeated Kirkwood 17-14. Another coach that went on the road last night, Floyd Walker, took his Eagleville Eagles to Huntland last night and proved victorious 48-14. Coach, this has got to be a full circle moment for you.
Oh, man. You know it really is. I'm sitting here, I'm listening to you you know, speak to the public and everything, and then all I'm thinking about is the days back here when you played for us, the Eagleville Bats. So, you know,
yeah.
Man, I tell you what, you're talking about how fast the season's flown by. It's really flown by how old you become.
You're the second person that's reminded me that this morning. First, Parker asked how old I was, and he said that he graduated in 2020, and that just tells me that the years are not being kind to me.
Yeah, right, Coach, now. When I found out he graduated in 2014, I was dumbfounded, to say the least.
I know, and it really doesn't seem like it's been that long ago, man.
No, it doesn't seem like that long ago. I was thinking about it the other day. You know, you've been at Eagleville kind of for the program's formative years. You know, you were coaching, your first year was 2010 when I was a freshman. And
right.
You've just kind of seen this program grow, and you know, you've stuck around through a lot of tough times, through a lot of good times. And I was just wondering, you know, what about that school that the public doesn't know that's kept you sticking around?
I mean, it's the people. It's the people, man. It's mainly the kids that we deal with every day, like yourself when you were here. It's a deal where you have great kids. They have great parental support at home. And the kids are just playing just for the sheer love of playing football with their buddies. And that's the most enjoyable thing about it. There's nothing like watching kids interact with one another, with people that they like and people that they're going to be lifelong friends with.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing that, you know, I mean, even going back to, you know, when I was there and before that with Eagleville's Junior Pro program, is that a lot of kids grow up playing together. And
they do.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at the roster yesterday, and you know, you guys have a lot of experience in a lot of different positions. And How has that played into the success so far this year?
It's just a belief and a trust that these kids have for one another. You're talking about people going through the program. You take somebody like a Marshall Spann, a Nolan Lane, and the Lane name and Spann name have been around here for years. Then you throw in, you know, Caleb Snitzer, and you throw in Noah Lilly, and you think back about how they went through junior pro and through middle school, and, you know, the different bus rides and different activities they've done here on this campus, man. And it's one of those deals to where they've just formed those relationships throughout the years, and it's neat to see them having some success.
We're talking with head coach Floyd Walker of the Eagleville Eagles last night. His Eagles went to Huntland and got a big region win, 48-14 on the road. Coach, you know, now you're waking up, you're tied for first in the region. You're at 2-1, tied with Richland. What worked for you well last night?
I mean, we went into the ball game last night, and we always want to try to run the football. That's what we wanted to do offensively. And, of course, defensively, we wanted to try to stop the run because of their wing T offense. And I thought last night, defensively, I thought that's what really set the tone. I think we had several, you know, early on three and outs while we were finding our footing on offense. And I thought Marshall Spann did a tremendous job leading our group. And I thought our defensive line really did a great job of controlling the line of scrimmage early on and fitting the run scheme. So that was a big takeaway from it. That's what we wanted to do. We wanted to stop the run, establish the run. Caleb Snitzer got going, and then we had some other backs that followed suit. So it was a good night for everybody.
And we're talking to Coach Floyd Walker over at Eagleville. Coach, I want to talk about this defense because 14 points allowed last night was the most points you've allowed all season. The defense has been playing like their hair's on fire. What has that side of the ball specifically meant to your program this season?
Everything that we do here has always been built around defense first. When we start at the beginning of the year, it's always – you know, we had to break things up into two segments. We had to have an offensive practice and a defensive practice. But defense always takes priority, defense in the kicking game. And that's what our kids hang their hats on. They like flying around, trying to get to the football. They like trying to be physical when they get to the football. And it's one of those deals to where they understand that that's the expectation here at Eagleville. If you're going to play here, you're going to be a physical defensive player.
Coach, you know, now I want to jump on the offensive side of the football. You mentioned Caleb Snitzer, the senior running back, a moment ago. You know, you've got a two quarterback system with Damian Davenport and Benton Fox. You know, what about that two quarterback system has worked? You know, a lot of coaches, you know, really try to settle on one QB, but for you guys, you know, the two QB system has provided a lot of success.
Well, what we've got, two quarterbacks with two different skill sets. And plus one of them is a true freshman. You know, it's kind of like a college kid or an NFL rookie. What we want to do is we want to give him small doses. We don't want to overload him. We want to give him and put him in situations where he can be successful. And I think Benton Fox has done a tremendous job of that. And I think those two kids have really embraced working well with one another. I'm not a Steve Spurrier, man. Don't even start that question, okay? So don't even start that, man. But it's one of those deals where they both have different skill sets. Damon's maybe a little bit more polished of a thrower right now. Benton is getting there, but he's starting to throw the ball well, and he'll get some more of that type of deal. But, again, we've got really good running backs, and we knew that going into the season. And we always want to try to establish, you know, the run with Caleb and Thomas Solomon and Jonathan Jordan.
And, Coach, you're, again, like Jake mentioned, you're sitting at number one in the region and 3-2 overall. But I know you, your staff, your players believe you're a couple plays away from being 5-0. What's your message to the team to kind of flush those early losses and keep playing with that same intensity each week?
We just need to be us. We need to play the way that Eagleville is supposed to play. We need to play clean. We don't need to have blown assignments, blown coverages. And when we don't give up the home run defensively, we got a shot of being pretty good on Friday night. And that's always been our message. And we've had some self-inflicted wounds on drives that's taken some points off the board this season. And I think our kids have done a tremendous job about letting it go. And the old cliche is just move on to the next play. You can't hold on to it. You can't do anything about it. You just move on and go play the next snap for one another.
Coach, last question for you. You know, looking at the region schedule, Wayne County comes to Eagleville next week. You know, you've got Loretto, who's another good team in Double A, coming to town in a couple weeks, and then your last two games on the road. All your opportunities in front of you. So how do you sum up this schedule to the football team on Monday?
We won't even talk about what's going down the road. We'll talk about what happened last night on Monday. We'll watch some of it, and then we'll go straight into Wayne County. We can't do anything or control anything that's down the road. All we can do is control what's ahead of us, and we talked to them about being where their feet are, and on Monday our feet will be with Wayne County.
All right, Coach. Well, you know, 48-14 last night. I've got one more quick question. I got to know about tonight. My Vols, your Sooners. You knew, you had to know this.
Hey,
was coming.
You didn't tell me he was a Sooners fan. I don't know if we would have got him on the line if I would have known that.
Yes, you would have. Here's the deal, okay? Let me put it to you this way. It's kind of like if you and I race, Jake, okay? If you and I race, Jake, if I win, probably nobody going to say anything, okay? But if you beat me, Jake, we all are going to be chirping. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Tennessee wins, probably not a whole lot to be said, you know? But if Oklahoma wins, man, everybody going to be chirping. And you'll be chirping. Hey, and you UT fan, you'll be chirping too, Jake. You know that like you won't.
Do you got a score prediction before we let you go?
No, man, no. I'm just hoping to stay awake and watch it. That's all.
Well, Coach, thank you for the time this morning, and good luck the rest of the way.
Hey, thank y'all for having us on, man. We appreciate you. Thank you.
That was head coach Floyd Walker of the Eagleville Eagles. His Eagles last night proved victorious in Huntland 48-14. Parker and I will take one more break, and we're going to recap these interviews, talk about what we saw was important right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game and The Game Blitz. Welcome back into 102.5, 106.3 The Game, The Game Blitz. Jake Wallman, Parker Kelly with you this morning, kicking off your weekend of football. And you just heard Andrew Allegretta mention it tonight, or later today, right here on 102.5 The Game. Vanderbilt takes on Missouri, their first SEC matchup of the year, trying to bounce back after last week's loss at Georgia State, 32-29. One guy that's not trying to bounce back, however, is Kevin Creasy, head coach of the Oakland Patriots. Coach, good morning.
Good morning.
Coach, we're going to get right to it. You know, football in Rutherford County is... it can be a meat grinder. You know, last night's a good example, 13-12 win over Blackman. If Riverdale and Blackman, or Riverdale and Oakland, excuse me, is the battle of the borough, I would say that Riverdale, or Blackman and Oakland, excuse me, is the backyard brawl. And it seems like it was a brawl last night.
Yeah, you know, two good teams getting together and, you know, battling it out for 48 minutes, you know, it. Not only was a four-quarter game, but it came down to the last second. They're kicking a game-winning field goal, and our guys did a heck of a job of blocking what would have been the game-winning field goal. And as the ball's rolling around and they're picking it up and we're tackling them, the clock runs out. So it was a tremendous game, you know, big defensive battle back and forth. And like I said, it's always tough when you go on the road in this county.
Yes, it is, absolutely. You know, I would like to think that, you know, the schools in Rutherford County, they all, of course, have their own community. What does a game like Oakland and Blackman mean to that county?
Well, you know, it's it was becoming the biggest rival the last 10, 12 years. And, you know, with the reemergence of Riverdale and how good they've gotten recently, there's really a trifecta. These three schools have kind of battled it out at the top, and, you know, real proud football communities. And when they get together, it's definitely going to be, you know, a big rival and a heck of a game.
We're talking to head coach Kevin Creasy over at Oakland High School. Coach, this team just has a way of getting it done. And, you know, last night obviously wasn't the best start for your team the way you were hoping for, but eventually got it done in the end. How would you describe your team's resiliency that you saw last night?
Yeah, just real proud of our guys. You know, a lot of times, you know, at certain positions, we were definitely outmatched last night. But, you know, a lot of times with inexperienced kids, they've seen guys older than themselves pull out wins and, you know, expect to win. A lot of it is just expecting to win. Our guys, I've been here 10 years, and, you know, we've never lost a Blackman. We've never lost a road game, you know, in region play. And so our guys just expect to win. And there were several moments throughout the contest last night that it looked like we were definitely done for. And, you know, the ball bounced our way a couple times, and we got some fortunate calls, and, you know, just all the things that, you know, when we first got here went against us, but definitely went our favor last night. And like I said, you got to give it to a lot of our guys. We had three sophomores starting. We've still got three starters out. We had a freshman start. So that's things that usually don't happen in Oakland, but we're a little thinner than we normally are. And for those guys to keep fighting all 48 minutes, I'm real proud of them.
Coach, you know, I want to talk about the resiliency of your team for a moment one more time. You know, down 3-0 at halftime, what did you guys have to change that, you know, what did you guys have to change at halftime that you thought might go your way?
Well, you know, first thing, I think you got to give a lot of credit to Blackman. I thought they did a good job. I thought their coaches had them ready to play. And, you know, they took away a lot of things that have been successful for us all year. And at the end of the day, they did a good job of, you know, kind of keeping us off the field. And the biggest thing we talked about is how we hurt ourselves with, you know, turnovers and penalties and, you know, mistakes, basically. And so we just had to kind of calm ourselves down and kind of play our game. And, you know, eventually we got a couple good drives going in the second half, and the defense did a heck of a job for us, you know, making some plays and setting us up for good field position and stuff like that. So it was definitely a game that had ebbs and flows and, you know, a lot of different momentum shifts. But like I said, if anybody bought a ticket last night, they got their money's worth.
And, Coach, this is a team with very high expectations, has shouldered a lot of praise from the outside media, and rightfully so. But your team has started 5-0, and I'd say that the win over Anna, Texas in week two was a really big win for your team. Is the praise and all the outside noise kind of something that your team shoulders, or is it something where you kind of put the horse blinders on and you're focused on the next week?
Yeah, you know, you got to be careful with all those guys patting you on the back, telling you how good they are, because, you know, they'll be the same ones that are wondering why it's 3-0 at halftime. So we understand that, and, you know, our guys, they're going to stay focused. And, you know, it's one game at a time. You know, that's not just a cliche for us. We got Rockville this week, and it's a region game. It's just as important as the Blackman game was last night. So, you know, our guys have high expectations, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So we know we got to get back to work on Monday. There's a lot to correct. And, you know, there's some guys that are injured that aren't getting better anytime soon. So we're going to have to, you know, have guys step up. And like I said, this is just one of those things where it's tough every week. And, you know, it kind of gets you ready for the playoffs.
And speaking of injuries, your running back, Dewan Morris, has kind of struggled with some health early this season, you know, committed to USC, the running back for you guys. What's a kind of a status on his health update?
Yeah, you know, he dressed out last night. He practiced like 2 days this week. So we weren't sure if he was even going to get to play. He got hurt first play of the season. So he's had one snap his senior year until last night. And got in, had 5 or 6 carries in the fourth quarter when it really mattered. Thought he did a good job considering, you know, he's been out for 5 weeks and, you know, hadn't practiced but 2 times. So tremendous upside for him. He's probably about 70% right now. So, you know, high ankle injury just takes a while. You know, after 3 or 4 more weeks, I think he'll be back to normal.
We're talking with head coach Kevin Creasy of Oakland High School in Murfreesboro. Coach, we're going to turn the page now, looking ahead to the rest of the schedule. You mentioned Rockvale coming up this week. You guys get them at home, and you know the schedule doesn't really get tougher from there. You know, you guys, Riverdale, Coffee County, all sit at 1-0. What does this region provide in terms of how difficult it can be?
Yeah, you know, Coffee County is probably going to be a playoff team this year. Week 9, you know, we had an opening just the way the schedule fell, week 9, and Ravenwood will be coming to our place and, you know, very likely to be undefeated, you know, 9-0 when we play them, and then turn right back around and play Riverdale week 10. So, you know, it's a tough grind, but, you know, our guys are used to it, and, you know, sometimes you get up for games and then sometimes you kind of show up kind of flat, so we can't afford to do that anymore. And I thought we probably going to learn a valuable lesson or two from this past ball game with Blackman.
And, Coach, football, there's so many different things that make it a complex sport, but the greatest sport on the face of the earth. And there's also a human element to this game, which also makes it so special. And I got to ask, what is it like coaching your son, Kyler?
Oh, man, it was tough times last night. I got to give Blackman credit. They were knocking him around a little bit. He threw his first interception of the season, so that was always a downer. But, you know, up until that point, he'd been really efficient. And, you know, like I said, done a really good job of managing our team and making some big plays. I think he's thrown like 8 touchdowns and 1 interception now. But, yeah, real proud of the way he fought, just like a lot of our guys. You know, fought to the very end right there. And, you know, if they make that game win a field goal, I know he would have been made out of the right stuff and would have came back to work Monday, even after a loss, and try to get us better. So, you know, it's real privilege to coach a kid. And, you know, it's one of those deals you'll look back at it and like, man, you know, for years my kid got to go to work with me every day. Not everybody can say that. And, you know, it's real privilege. And a lot of times we probably don't understand that until it's too late.
Hey, 1 interception through 5 games is not exactly a bad thing, but
no doubt.
Coach, one more question for you before we let you go. 3 of the last 4 years, you have made it to the state championship game, and I know that's obviously a goal of yours in this season. But how do you you know, at a level of that success, how do you tell this year's team that last year's last year, and that they got to go and make their own legacy?
Oh yeah, I think they probably see that. You know, a lot of times we'll review film from the year before, and we had a tremendous offensive line. You know, had a couple guys sign college scholarships, and our H-backs over there at Liberty playing tight end, and so those guys aren't here anymore. You know, so like I said, somebody's got to step up, but the expectations are the same. You know, last night we had a couple of young guys in positions where we had really dominant players last year. And so every year, you know, people are going to graduate. And with the tradition the way it is, somebody has to step up. And, you know, right now we're just trying to get to the playoffs, trying to win the region. And, you know, got to take one goal at a time. But, yeah, we'd love to play week 15, but it's a long way from now. And, you know, there's a lot of good teams out there willing to do what it takes to knock us off.
Well, Coach, you know, thank you for the time this morning, and go and enjoy that that first region win of the year with your son.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
That was head coach Kevin Creasy of the Oakland Patriots. His Patriots last night proved victorious over the Blaze of Blackman, 13-12, 13 fourth quarter points, I believe. Is that correct, Parker?
I believe so.
13 fourth quarter points. Blocked the field goal as time expired to win at Blackman. Coming up next is head coach Floyd Walker. His team also got a win in region play last night. We're going to talk about it with him next, head coach of the Eagle Eagles, as you listen to 102.5, 106.3 The Game and The Game Blitz. Welcome back into The Game Blitz for the final segment. Jake Wallman, Parker Kelly on this beautiful mid-September morning in Nashville. Parker, we're going to go ahead and recap these interviews with Kevin Creasy and Floyd Walker. Big thanks to those coaches again for taking time out of their Saturday mornings to join us here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We can start with Eagleville. I really like that question that you asked Coach Walker about the defense, because defense has really always been a calling card for them. You know, going back to even when I was there, you know, I can see the on the wall in the locker room, out hit, out hustle, out effort. You know, if Eagleville just always does those three things, then the game's just going to take care of itself.
Right, and even with the way the game is trending nowadays with, you know, more explosive plays on offense, ultimately the way to limit those is playing good defense,
yeah.
And Eagleville's done that, and that's what they built their foundation on, and if that's your foundation, you got to stick with it. You can't deviate from it.
And, you know, another part of the foundation that I wanted to get with Coach Walker just slipped my mind until now is, you know, the runnings of Caleb Snitzer. You know, that's a four-year guy that's been on the team. You know, he's been through the ringer, and now he's, you know, getting what's his as a starter, as a senior, you know, seeing the fruits of his efforts, you know, coming with games last night where, you know, Eagleville gets a big win. And, you know, this is an Eagleville team that I just feel like, and I'm going to try and not sound like a homer in this situation. It just feels like that they have, they are on the right track to getting a region title. And I could be wrong, but trying not to sound like a homer.
From, clearly you have a lot more insight to this program than I do, but from a 50,000 point perspective, it kind of, so seeing this Eagleville team, it kind of reminds me of the way Michigan plays, where their identity has always been defense and running the football.
You know who they are when
right. And
they
that,
come on.
That's Eagleville's identity, where they win the game at the line of scrimmage and they're going to try to, you know, run it down your throat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, you know, that's the impression I get from Eagleville. I'm not saying that they're, you know, going to go win the national championship.
No.
But that's the impression that I get from Eagleville.
And
so,
you're right. I mean, they are 100% fine with the score being 14-7. I mean, you know, if they beat you 14-7, that's more of a testament of just who they are. And, you know, I had somebody tell me when I was in high school, somebody once told me, if Eagleville scores 17 points, they're in the game in the fourth quarter. If they score 21, good luck.
Ultimately, they play the slow game.
Right.
They're trying to limit not just the other team's explosive plays. They're trying to limit your possessions in general, and they're trying to win the time of possession game. That's why they run the football. And again, that's why they play the defense.
And offensively, you know, what we've seen from them the past few years under Coach Walker is, you know, the 2QB system. He has always it seems like he's always found a way to have a quarterback that can throw the ball and have a quarterback that can run the ball, or have a quarterback that can do both, and then give anybody that's behind that one quarterback time to develop.
Yeah, and that was a really interesting question, because usually, I mean, you know, I brought this up on the show before, I'm not the biggest fan of two quarterback systems, but for Eagleville, it's kind of interesting because they have their senior Damon Davenport, and then their freshman Benton Fox. And it's not like, you know, they're, you know, expecting Benton Fox to carry the workload.
No.
and you know, lead this team to victory, but they have design packages and special plays for him, just trying to get him acclimated to the high school game. You know, he was in middle school last year. So, and that's something, you know, thinking back as a former player, I wish I would have gotten that more of that experience early, because I didn't get really many snaps my freshman year. Didn't get really many snaps my sophomore year. My first time starting was as a junior. And that's something that I wish that I would have. And it's not like going out and starting a whole second half or something like that. It's just getting more plays to get me used to the speed of the game.
Yeah.
And I really like that perspective, even though I'm not the biggest fan of two quarterback systems.
One quick question for you before we jump to the Oakland interview. I assume you play JV. You know, or a freshman team or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
How different, from a quarterback's standpoint, how different is the speed of the game between a freshman / JV game and a varsity game?
I mean, pretty much night and day, and especially at the level that I played at, you know, the smaller private school region. It's just different. And we actually, because of the size of the school, did not have many JV games. We had a few, those were good, you know, just to get me, you know, used to it. But it's really night and day difference going from playing on a Tuesday, Thursday to Friday night when the whole, you know, student section's out, the whole school's out watching you. It's different. But those games and those reps do help, and they're very beneficial going forward. So,
and you know, now we jump to the Oakland interview. Oakland, if you're just joining us, Oakland beat Blackman last night 13-12. And yeah, Parker, we were talking last night, region or 6A region 3 is, it seems like it's just getting tougher and tougher by the year. And last night Oakland comes out, you know, they're down at halftime 3-0. You know, Coach Creasy mentioned it, that, you know, Oakland or Blackman had a really good game plan. It seems like Oakland maybe caught a couple punches in the mouth. And how, you know, going back to your quarterback background, when you come out and you take a punch or two in the mouth from a team like Blackman that's in your district, that's, you know, right in your backyard almost, what's the response? Yeah, I mean, what's the response? How do you handle that, stuff like that?
Well, I'd say the expectation with Oakland is they're just going to roll it over everybody they play. And it's not always the case.
No.
Sometimes it's good for a team to taste their own blood. And, you know, going to the college game last week, we saw Georgia kind of have a slugfest with Kentucky, something that nobody expected. But, you know, Georgia has had those games. You know, they've struggled with Auburn in the past. They've struggled on the road at Missouri. Oakland is the same way. I mean, just because they have all this talent and they have state championships galore and whatever game win streak, I mean, they're human. They're still, you know, 14 to 18 year old players. They can struggle as well, but they just find ways to get it done. That's why I was asking Coach Creasy. It seems like no matter the circumstance, they always find a way, whether it's scoring two touchdowns in the last 13 minutes of the game. They just find a way to get it done.
Blocking a punt was another big play that Oakland had last night. They recovered it at the one, and or maybe there was a play where they either blocked a punt or Blackman had a fumbled snap. Oakland covered it at the one, and they scored on the next play. Those are just plays that you just can't have happen when you got that 12-0 lead with Oakland. A 12-point deficit may feel like a 2-point deficit.
Yeah,
because they've been there.
Yeah, and they're not necessarily a team that, you know, throws the ball down the field. They run the triple option. They run the ball too, but I mean, they always feel like they have a chance, and clearly they do.
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, we're going to monitor both Oakland and Eagleville's success as we go along throughout the rest of the season. Both those teams have some big games down the line. And we're going to talk about some big games down the line coming up next week, some games to watch. I'll go first. My game to watch is Hendersonville at Beach. Both teams 4-1. Both teams coming up with big wins last night. And that's one of those inter-county rivalries or cross-county line rivalries that people kind of star when the schedules come out in the summer.
Yeah, I think that is going to be like a really sneaky good game. You know, Beach had a lot of expectation this year, lots of talent over there. And Hendersonville is a team that's on the come up, and they're looking better and better each week. And this is a game that Hendersonville could absolutely steal, but should be fun, and a game I know you and I are going to keep an eye on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we talk about Hendersonville all the time, and they've, you know, they're off to a really great start. I think that you know, when I think about Beach, and I think you're going to resonate on this with me. I think about Jalen Hurd and just running the football back around 2013, 2014, going back about 10 years. And that, for me, that's how I see Beach. And I feel like that, you know, if Beach is going to win this game, I feel like they're going to have to run the football, and they're going to have to do it well.
And it just seems like they always have a good, solid running back to carry that workload. I remember I played Beach. This was a while ago, but even then they had a great running back. It just seems like every year they always have a guy at running back that just carries that workload for them.
Well, Parker, what's your game to watch coming up this week?
As I was going through next week's slate of games, I mean, the private school regions have some great games on the horizon, but next week I'm really excited about Baylor at Brentwood Academy next week. We know who Baylor is, the number one ranked team in the state. They've had some great wins early on in the season over teams from out of state, and they're coming to Middle Tennessee to take on Brentwood Academy. Now, Brentwood Academy lost last night, but I really want to see how Coach Wade gets his team to respond, especially against Baylor, who's got recruits all over the place that are going to play at the next level next year. So I'm really excited to see how Brentwood Academy responds. And then I'm also excited to see how Baylor, you know, tries to shut out the noise, because they're a team that's also getting a lot of praise, a lot of hype, as Nick Saban would call it, rat poison. So I'm really excited to see how they keep this ball rolling.
Some other games to keep an eye on next week, next Friday, excuse me. Oakland hosts Rockvale, another inter-county rivalry there with inside Rutherford County. Riverdale 4-1, Coffee County 3-2, at the reservation. Coffee County's a little bit better this year than they have been in the past. Riverdale's hot. I think that's a sneaky, sneaky good game.
Yeah, I was looking at that one too, and Coach Walker was talking about how Coffee County is most definitely a playoff team this year, and Riverdale is just a well-oiled machine. So maybe Coffee County can pull one out.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe. Maybe.
Who knows?
We've seen crazier things.
Green Hill hosts Gallatin in the MyTV 30 Friday Night Rivals game of the week. Mount Juliet hosts Wilson Central. Mount Juliet's 5-0. We talked up at the top of the show about how, you know, Mount Juliet, you know, Trey Perry's got a good thing going there. You really hope to get him on the show in the coming weeks. Antioch 4-1. They host Stewart's Creek 4-1. That'll be a really, really good game for that district and two more I-24 schools. Creekwood 4-1, Fairview 3-2. Here's a good game that neither of us were able to mention. Franklin Road Academy, excuse me, 5-0 at East Nashville, 5-0.
I don't know how we glossed over that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, just scrolling through Coach T, and that one was one that popped up, and I had to mention it before we close it out.
Franklin Road Academy undefeated. East Nashville, I watched them last night take on Liberty Creek and kind of, you know, come from behind victory. Yeah, that'll most definitely be a great matchup.
Absolutely. Well, that will do it for us, Nashville. For Coach Walker and Coach Kevin Creasy, we thank both our guests for taking time out of their Saturday morning to join us. I'm Jake Wallman. He's Parker Kelly. You've been listening to The Game Blitz right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.